stage. So if you want to be baptized, you can also put your name up so that we just have an indication. So thank you. Right. Okay, we are going on with a Sermon on the Mount, a sermon series Pastor Andres and I are doing together, building on Christ. Now, I made you walk around because I want to lead us in Matthew 5 verse 6 this morning. And I'm going to end on this idea of movement. There's steps we need to take if we want to be filled. Now, when I wrote this out, three steps to be filled, it sounded like... It sounds like a sales gimmick, but I mean literal steps. I mean movement, all right? If we want to be filled, experience fullness in the Lord, we're going to have to move. And I want to take us through that this morning. Read with me. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him. And he began to teach them, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." I just want to say, when in the, even in the times of the kings, in the historical and prophetic books, you had the prophets of God going to the king and pronouncing good news or bad. And kings didn't like bad news. Like some prophets, they just want to kill because they proclaimed an oracle, a woe. You're going to die. And the dog's going to lick up your blood. Stuff like that. Now, the opposite of a woe would be a wheel, which is a beatitude, which is a blessed are you. You'll be happy. Good things are coming. Now, because of the context of Israel and other nations having to deal with the woes of the prophet bringing correction, discipline, and bad news, you must realize on this mountain when Jesus let it, like, I let suck the antrem, and he says, blessed. Blessed, blessed. These people are in it to win it. They're like, oh, here it is. Here is not the oracle of woe, but that of blessedness. And he goes for it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And that's where Pastor Andres stopped last week. And you're welcome to catch up on YouTube. Today, I will be parking on verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. We see that word coming up again. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. All right. One or two things. Just to set the stage. I won't be long. I'm doing one verse today. The Beatitudes, or the blessed are you, that Jesus reveals to his people, we have to know that his kingdom is upside down. The way to blessedness seems to be in contradiction with the world. And Pastor Andre spoke a lot about that in his introduction two sermons back. So please catch up. We get this idea that in this world, at all cost, run away from poverty. Like at all cost. And then Jesus comes and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. But Luke says, blessed are the poor. And so what we see is that in God's kingdom, things are prized differently. Okay? The price tags on them seems to be different. Things in God's kingdom with value seems to be different than this world. Now, I wanted to put it on, but at the end I didn't. There's this one violin. Some of you guys will know it. The point is sometimes we don't know the price of things because we don't know its value yet. There's a violin that costs $20 million. Who knows about that thing? It's, yeah, yeah. $20 million. And so I had the most expensive home in Hermanus on the screen with that thing. And I wanted to ask, what's the most expensive? And it's crazy to think of it. We don't always know the price and the value of things. Now Jesus comes and he says, blessed are you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. In Luke, he says, blessed are the poor. Why? In the kingdom of God, I'm just using that as an example. Some of the things the world runs from, we can embrace because in collaboration with God's sovereign will, he takes things that seems like it's bad and works it for our good. It's the upside down kingdom. Things seem to be the wrong way around. Now watch out. I'm going to use this idea of poverty because we can all relate to it. Every one of you guys over this weekend, at least at one time, will probably go to buy something, whether it's bread or milk, something we work with every day. So those who follow riches or money shows that they've got another king. But can I tell you what? If you hate money, you despise the rich, you're doing exactly the same thing. Whether you're running to it or running away, it's got control over you. Can you see that? The thing about the people of God, they're on a higher mountain. It's not as a big deal. It's a bird, but your hand is open. All right, this is a season of being on the mission field. I don't have as much now as I used to have, but it's actually a non-issue because I'm on a higher mountain. He took them to the mountain and showed them the view, put the world into perspective. Remember that. We value things in a different way when we are in his kingdom. We prize things differently. Some of the things this world are running from, I'm going to say this again, works in tandem with God to take us further into his kingdom. This is not for immature consumption. It's only those who really long and thirsty for him that will see the value of God's agency in their lives through difficult and good times. But we are aiming for that. Now, blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, I've got a great problem with this verse this morning. And the problem is not the word blessed. Pastor Andres covered that very well. And the problem is not the be filled part. The problem is the right minefield of vastness. It is a big term. All right, so that's why I'm only doing one. I'm going to try and open it up for us as much as we can. The first problem I have is the vastness of the word righteousness. The other issue is, if we can go back to slide number three. We see Jesus saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's someone that's lacking something, okay? Blessed are those who mourn. That's someone who's lacking something. Okay, they're mourning. If we go to verse 5, once again, someone who's lacking something. Blessed are the meek. And then we get to verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then the beatitude change. Blessed are those who have mercy. Blessed are those who are pure. And so verse 6 acts as a hinge. It swings the door of the beatitudes. On the one side, we glory and we make a peace with our pain, our lack, and we know that God's agency in it will help us. And then we get to hear and we start to overflow. Can you see that? And so we are dealing with the hinge this morning. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm going to try not to be long because it's one verse, by the way. Okay, right. Righteousness, slide number 8. First and foremost, as a Christian, the biblical word righteousness is loaded. Now, we need to realign our definitions and the way we look at words according to the Bible. Unfortunately, in this world, we have this word self-righteousness, which is a person who thinks they're better. And it has hurt the word righteousness. We've lost its meaning. Righteousness in the Bible is first and foremostly underpinned by this idea of a relationship with God. That is the the foundation of the word righteousness, before we get to that's a good thing to do and that's a bad thing to do. And we get this idea. Abraham believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. When he met the Lord, when his relationship with God started, it was accounted to him as righteousness. What did he do? Nothing. Righteousness was given as a package with the relationship. All right. Already, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, should start to tickle your ear in a different way. Look at what Paul writes. He says, I want to be found in him. I want to be with him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. I want to be with him. That's why I'm longing for righteousness, togetherness with God. The second layer of righteousness refers to how our lives then looks more like God into this world. And now we get to things we do and don't do. We have this idea of what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. John 15, if you abide in me, if you're righteous in me, then you will bear much fruit. Can you see? One and two. Relationship, a life flows out. The gospel, the order of things, the sequence of God's kingdom invading our lives is always very important. Now follow with me here. What happens if we come humbly before him? We always walk into someone. Let's read with me the next verse. And this is all, and this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling, just follow me, the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us a message of reconciliation. And here we go. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might become what? The righteousness of God. He who wrestles before the face of God with his own sin is on a road that will always run into Christ. Blessed is the one who mourns for their sins, because at the end of the road they will run into someone who lived in their place. And what will happen? You'll be filled. You did it for me, Lord. If I had to run on my own works, I might do okay today, but I will go to bed not filled. I would go to bed petrified that I might mess it up tomorrow. But what if someone came in my stead and lived for me and say, my righteousness I give to you. Spiritually, I'm going to bed on a full stomach, safely found in Christ. But if we can go back one slide, can we get past this? Is the question. Are we willing to confess? Are we willing to acknowledge? Do we have a community where one friend can go to another friend and say, shucks, I'm seeing something in your marriage that really bothers me. I'm seeing something in your relationship with money, or I'm seeing something in your relationship with people and it bothers me. Or are we so afraid for the bite? Don't tell me. We must be healed. We must be healed, because if we cannot go past one, we cannot be filled. Are you with me this morning? Are you open for your friends to come and lean into your life? Do you have friends? If they are afraid to come to you to weigh in, it might be because they are afraid that you'll bite them. Be humble and be filled. Amen. Our hunger for righteousness ultimately leads to one destination, Christ and Christ crucified, our righteousness. Go to bed with a full stomach. We might even say that a hunger and a thirst for righteousness is at its core a longing for Jesus himself. Because it always leads there. The second step that we walk in, that we take, is the following. We discover that our deep longing, that thirst, that hunger for righteousness is in fact a profound hunger for Jesus himself. And then we eat and we are filled. How do I know that a congregation loves eating of the right stuff? They love to worship. Many churches will take the word. Many churches will take the word. You can speak and I'll go home, but don't tell me to soften my body. Don't tell me to open up in a way that expresses love towards him. Want ek is nie daai tipe Christen nie. Preek die woord, ek wil huis toe gaan. Now, I'm not saying worship should look one way or another. It can look in many ways. But here is where I know I am feasting. Because being with him is what fills me, not all the things I do. Open your heart, especially to, and also in our times of worship, we are blessed, amen. The table is set to feast on him, and I want to invite all of us in. Why do people often go? Listen up, remember, righteousness, the yearning to be right in life as a relational, is underpinned by a relational dynamic. And so someone who wants to be, has this thirst and has this hunger, can go to the wrong source. And what can happen is they can go from relationship to relationship to relationship to trauma to trauma to trauma. Because a hunger and a thirst for righteousness is in essence a hunger for relationship. But there's only one that can fill. And so when you see your friend falling, they're seeking for Jesus. If you see them stumbling again and again, you see them longing, chasing, they don't know it, but they're looking for him. And it could be that you are there to help them. Amen. Why do we sometimes run from relationship, from hobby to hobby, from work to work, from thing to thing? We are looking. But it's only when we find him that we will be filled. But what now? Is that where it ends? No. This is just the first part, and it's the most important part, and that is that our righteousness is in him. Now we can advance. Please read with me. Paul writes, he plays with these concepts. He says, I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. We read through this. But that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Okay, so he's just dealing with our step one and step two. That I may know him, there's the relationship, and the power of his resurrection, and may share with him. These are relational vocabulary, and becoming like him. When I was preparing this towards the end, I realized that this message on this verse, it's teaching heavy. Okay, so just hold on. We're putting different kinds of things through our spiritual digestive system. We're high on teaching this morning, but you're going to have to go and digest and take it devotionally to the Lord and then live it out. Let's go on. Because here's where we are going. It's not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I have been filled. But because Christ have made Paul his own, he now responds, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, now I'm straining forward. Now, the second part of righteousness is ignited in the right way. Christ has given me righteousness in capital letters. But now what I'm going to do from this moment, I'm going to leave the past behind. And having been made righteous in the Lord, my future will now look vastly different than my past. I'm now going to engage in a life that looks more and more like his, and less that what my life used to look like. So please note there's two things here. It's not self-righteousness that we want to seek after, but it's also not unrighteousness. Unrighteousness just says, Nax mak saki, los mait. Okay. Self-righteousness is look at what I'm doing. Both of those are sinful in God's sight because they're not the gospel. The gospel is a righteousness in Christ and then a life that flows over, but it's never self-righteousness. It's following the one that loves my soul to the best of my ability. Now I look forward. And what happens there is the third step, is we discover that Jesus restores his image in us, allowing us now to walk in righteousness in this world. Are you with me this morning? Don't race here when you read that verse at first. It'll put a burden on you. You first need to meet the person of righteousness, and then he sends you out. What does it mean for us this morning? How can we be blessed? Relationship with God needs to be prioritized as number one before we are activated and released for God. Why do we come here to spend time in worship? Because we need to eat and be filled with love and assurance of his life for ours and his love toward us. And then we disperse into this town and we extend his type of love into our town, being filled and full. We're not going out there looking for being filled. We are filled in here. Find it, Sueshibemez. Okay. Amen. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me, he who is in me, he it is that bears much fruit. Can you see the order? So if the wheels are coming off in your life, you're really struggling. Remember, if your heart is a city full of roads, everyone has Christ at the end. There's this area in my life that needs help. There's that area in my life. It starts with intimacy with Jesus. He will fill you. After he has filled you, he will release you to go and restore. Amen? The branch cannot come to the vine with fruit on it already. That will be a weird branch. It needs to come in first, sit for long enough to allow the nutrients to come up. Out comes the fruit. Being with the Lord. And I was in a meeting with the worship team this week, and I just want to say that the heart of the worship team is to create a place where we can love and put ourselves deep into the Lord. So let's respond, amen? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I want to create an opportunity to pray for us this morning. If we can just stand up this morning and respond to the Lord, we're not afraid to respond. We already walked all over this place. I want to ask you a big favor today. We had communion prepared for this service, but we're not going to have the time. Can I ask you to take your family home today and do communion at home? Is that okay, everyone? Can I facilitate that to the leader of the home? Just bring your family together and extend that. Amen. I want to pray for one group this morning because it's something we haven't touched on. So I'm just opening this page and then we want to pray for you. This idea of righteousness is too wide for one sermon. But one thing it also involves is if the sin and the brokenness of others have broken over you like a wave in a way that it has impacted your life and you never asked for it. You never asked for it. You never planned for it. It wasn't your sin. It wasn't your decisions. But what it did is it came at you, maybe at you and your children. Blessed are those means there's a blessedness right now. But they will be filled means that there's a different kind of filling that's also coming ahead. And what that means is we're dealing with a kingdom that's here, but that's also coming. It's a kingdom here and now and a kingdom then. We want to pray for you this morning if we need to pray for you for the kingdom then. Because it just feels to you like this world has been breaking over you in such a way that it just does not feel fair. There's a promise for you. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, keep your steps, follow the Lord, trust Him, you will be filled. It will be dealt with. And this morning, we want to pray with you to activate your hope. You might find a little bit of blessedness. You're like, there's a glimmer of hope, but I need a lot. Kingdom now and kingdom coming. A part of our hope is reserved for the final day as Christians. But don't walk alone until that day. So I just want to ask, I want to call a couple of things and I want to ask you to respond in faith. I want to ask you, if the sins of others have broken over you and injured you, quickly put up your hand and say, that's me. It has happened to me in my life. If you feel that you thought it's commitment, you thought you had it planned out, but the other person turned and hurt you and injured you, quickly put up your hand and say, that's me. Thank you for those hands. If you feel overwhelmed by the context you are in and you're like, I can relate with that hunger, but I don't know what to do. Quickly put up your hand. We want to pray with you this morning. Can you be bold and quickly step out when I say three? One, two, three. Quickly come out. All my facilitators, small group leaders, just come and help us here. We're going to pray for some people and we're going to dismiss the rest to open up parking. Please come out. We want to pray for you to hold on to the Lord and to trust Him. We have a facilitator for you, so don't be shy. Is there anyone else? This is a moment. Take that step. Thank you so much for your faith. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. And everyone said, amen. I'm formally dismissing you. You are welcome to stay for a coffee. You're also welcome to go. See you guys soon again. Amen. See you at D6 this week if you want to come.